Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Norm Lorenz. Norm is the Chief Technology Officer at the Office of Management and Budget. And joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve.
Norm, for those who aren't familiar with it, can you describe the federal enterprise architecture for us?
I'd be happy to. An enterprise architecture, by the very nature of the first term, enterprise, means that it's an architecture for the entire boundary of what you're trying to improve, if you will. So when you say FEA or federal enterprise architecture, it's an architecture for the entire federal government. In a simplistic sense, it is a business line description of what the federal government does on behalf of or for citizens. That's what it is. There's 35 roughly citizen-facing and internal lines of business, and basically it talks about what are the specific products and services, if you will, or products that we deliver on behalf of. Like war fighting, you don't deliver to the citizen, but you perform that on behalf of the citizen.
Most people think about enterprise architecture, chief technologies officers think about technology. How does an enterprise architecture go beyond IT?
I think, probably a more apt application for my title might be chief transformation officer. By the way, it includes extraordinary deployment of technology. But really, an enterprise architecture looks at all resources that are deployed in those lines of business in order to serve, in our case, the citizen. In the private sector, it would be the customer. And they have similar enterprise views around their product lines, products and services in the private sector. And so it is not only technology, but it's also human capital, and it's also large fixed assets. So we're starting with technology. This FEA initiative is sponsored and sanctioned by the CIO Council of the federal government. We're moving quickly into operationalizing that, if you will, and really standing up a FEA office that likely will be similar to other officers that are stood up in OMB.
What's the business reference model?
There's five reference models that make up the federal enterprise architecture. The first two reference models are the performance reference model and the business reference model. Those two pieces are the business description of the federal government, with the business reference model being the lines of business definitions and the performance reference model being the metrics. So when you're doing process improvement or looking at process systems, which is what this is, you don't have a process system unless you have both a description of the line of business and or process and an outcome metric so that you can set targets about how you want to do improvement. The other three reference models that we're working with are more the technical support of what those business lines and metrics are. There's the service component reference model, which is basically reusable technology components. It could be ERP, it could be CRM, but it's major technology components that are then reused to solve problems in the lines of business. Then you have a data reference model, and of course, if you're in technology, you know that everything circles around the data. It's how you decouple. It's basically the circulatory system, if you will, for technology. And then lastly, there's the technology reference model, which really is like the OS, the platform, and it's just as important. The more variation you have in serving a customer, the more unpredictable the outcome is. So it says that using a standard set of technology components, if you will, service components, data, and the fundamental technology, consistent use of that makes your service for your citizen more predictable.
Why are getting these things right, the FEA and the business reference models?
Well, basically, the citizen, the cat is out of the bag. Most of the time when I talk to people in audiences, I ask them how many folks in the last 48 hours have done a transaction on the web that has enabled them to have greater control of their life. Very seldom is there a hand that's down. So we have 22,000 websites in the federal government. The citizen basically is telling us, and every time we ask them, they say, I don't want to deal with you 18 times, 10 times, 20 times. I want to deal with you once. I want to deal with you when I want to, how I want to, and where I want to. And so basically the private sector's kind of ruined it for us. I mean, because really world-class companies give the customer what they want and customize even down to the individual customer. They expect the same thing out of us. So in one of the key experiences, if you'll recall 911 one more time, you've heard the stories about people in New York, people in Washington, the Pentagon and so forth, trying to figure out what benefits might be at their disposal. They didn't have a single place where they could go, a portal, if you will, where they could really find out grants and benefits that they could use. And so we've worked in terms of the 24U government initiatives. We've worked at closing those gaps. But literally the reason for doing this is the citizen is saying, I want the government to perform for me just like I'm performed for by the private sector in my daily life.
So I guess what the real challenge then is the government is to have an approach that's more focused on the mission or the citizen than the agency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so therein lies the dynamic tension. And again, I have to say to you, and in the 10 short months, almost 11 now that I've been here, I haven't met a single employee in the federal government that's a bad person. Everybody wants to do what's right. But the way we have constructed how we serve the citizen in only agencies and programs sometimes gets in the way of really giving them what they actually want. And further, if you look at the business reference model that's broken up into three pieces, the top piece being the business area around the citizen, those lines of business are done at least 10 by at least 10 of the 24 agencies. All 10 of them do all of those lines of business. You get into the next layer, which is the supporting business area, which is like public relations, legislative affairs, etc. 21 out of the 24 are doing all of those lines of business. And the bottom layer, which is in the private sector termed as the back office, which is where ERP, et cetera, are your financial human resource systems, all 24 are doing all of them. So there's not only is the citizen seeing it with huge variation, so are our employees. And so that is not what they would wish to have. Plus, there's a huge cost of redundancy. And as you know, we're in a deficit spending mode right now, so we need to look at places where we can more effectively deploy technology, save money, and then redeploy that into areas where we need to do investment.
How do you convince the agencies to shift from this, from an agency focus to a mission focus, and when their interest is in sort of taking charge of their own operations and capabilities?
Well, there's two practical points of view. First of all, again, good people. You bring the data from the citizen. You create a structure within which they can participate, which is the FEA. And generally speaking, I think they will participate. From a more practical standpoint, there is an act called the Clinger-Cohen Act that requires all agencies to have an enterprise architecture and to use that as their roadmap for the improvement of their agencies. That's not enough. The citizen is now saying to us, leverage that requirement to across the government and give it to us how we want it. In fact, by law, they're required to participate in enterprise architecture planning and deployment. So in just as in any other situation, when you're doing transformation, it only occurs when there is the right set of rewards as well as consequences if people don't participate.
How would you compare the federal government to its private sector counterparts in the development of enterprise architecture?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I had a meeting with the chief architect for General Motors. We did a joint thing for the endowment, joint breakfast. They, in the private sector, excellent companies, as termed by the Baldrige Award or whatever, are doing enterprise architecture work. That's the way they manage their businesses. It's the only way you can connect all the dots and make sure every day that your customer sees the same level of service and a consistent level of improvement. In the government, we actually have an advantage in terms of, like, the example of General Motors. The chief architect indicated he thought it would be nice if he had a law that would force each of the car lines to do their own EA. But he doesn't have that. And so we were lamenting the fact that perhaps in this case, the federal government might actually be in a position to lead the private sector in doing the more grand scale enterprise architecture and deployment. I don't know whether that's true or not, but you can always hope.
Can you give us an example of an initiative or an agency that's making effective use of FEA?
The agencies have all gotten the message that they need to do EA. Now, the issue is we don't need to have that many EAs going on. I mean, you generally need one per agency, and then so we're going to have to work through that. But they've gotten the message. And by the way, EA is an integrated part of the capital process for the federal government now. It is the fabric within which the budget, the 03 budget, and now the 04 budget is being organized and aligned in terms of the IT investment. And so the same thing holds true. Labor has done some good work in integrating EA with the capital planning process. Work in progress in EPA. HUD has done some good work. Those are just examples. There's others as well. But the important message is, in terms of the president's scorecard around eGov, is it requires participation in this blueprint called EA. And so all of the agencies are being rated. So I would say you can go out to the OMB website and take a look. And I would encourage everybody to do that. Go out and take a look, because that will give you the status on where each of the agencies are in the deployment of EA.
It's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Come back with us after the break as we continue talking about management with Norm Lorenz of OMB. What's the status of the 24 eGov initiatives? We'll ask Norm for an update when the Business of Government Hour returns.